This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Cindy Lauper, and if you just want to have fun, do you? Keep listening to Joy 94.9 FM.
Yes, I love Cindy Lauper, so I just thought that should be played. Now, normally at this time of the day, I would do foodie news, but there is far too much to cover. So I've given the foodie news a miss today. I like to keep you all guessing. 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au. You can telephone 1300 569 949, that's 1300 Joy 949, or you can tweet cravings_JOY949 and tell me, what's that recipe from your childhood? What is that one thing that will go into your recipe book that tells the story of your life? Philippa Sibley, welcome to Cravings.
Thank you very much. Now, what is that, to meet you.
What is that recipe that's going to go into your cookbook?
I think for me, my mum was an amazing cook. She was amazing, so it's a difficult choice for me. But we had a beautiful Meyer lemon tree in our backyard, and she used to make lemon delicious pudding with Meyer lemons.
Oh, my God.
And they're so much more fragrant than normal lemons. They're just divine. So I remember that, and I would definitely put that in.
Is it from your mum that you think you've got that skill or that ability or that desire to cook?
I think it must, you know, it's the classic cliched apron string story, really. My dad used to joke that, you know, I started cooking really young. My dad used to joke that if there was nothing in the cupboard, I'd go and pull up some grass and cook with it. So,
I think your father would be happier with you pulling up grass and cooking it than pulling up grass and smoking it.
Well, exactly. Well, we were brought up vegetarian because our parents' parents were Seventh-day Adventists, of all things.
Right.
And they were complete wowsers. No booze, no meat, no fun. And we used to eat a lot of sanitarium products, which was you might as well just eat rope and yank it through, you know.
Oh, nice.
Horrible stuff. But as soon as Mum and Dad got married, they were straight into the scotch and the rare steak. So luckily.
Good for them. Now, let's take a step back and introduce exactly who Philippa Sibley is. You may have seen her recently on MasterChef, to which, you know, this particular presenter and program is somewhat addicted. She's been described as legendary and a pastry maestro. She's earned a reputation of one of the country's finest dessert and pastry chefs. How do you cope with that sort of idolatry about your skill?
Yeah, you know, makes me a bit squirmy, actually.
Does it?
Well, yeah, there's so many other amazing pastry chefs out there. It's just that we're like, so many. I mean, I'm contradicting myself here. There's a lot out there that are amazing, but generally, pastry chefs are like rocking horse poo. You know, there's a rarity of them. Generally in restaurants,
particularly here in Australia.
Yes, people don't study to be pastry chefs. It's sort of something that they sort of veer into if they're good at it or if they're interested in it.
Mm.
So that's changing, though. That's changing, which is great.
I was speaking to Kirsten Tibbles, who's from the Savour Chocolate and Patisserie School. She's quite an extraordinary. She has a huge reputation overseas.
Uh-huh.
And she was saying that when she studied, there weren't even uniforms for pastry chefs. They had to wear nurses' whites.
Really?
And I don't know if that's the same for you. When I did my own apprenticeship, it was we simply had boys and girls in our class, and people showed particular skills for particular areas of the kitchen. And, you know, there were some that went on to become pastry chefs, some that went on to become extraordinary business people, one down in Geelong. I don't even know if he cooks anymore, but he's running an empire, a hotel empire, and it's amazing to see the way that we all digressed.
Mm.
But Kirsten was saying that there's been very few pastry chefs produced out of Australia.
Yeah,
they're more predominantly come in from Europe. And
well, I did hone my pastry skills in France, actually.
Mm.
I was married at the time to a a Yorkshireman who worked in London for Marco Pierre White.
Is this a particular Yorkshireman that's now at the Hong Kong Jockey Club?
That's the one. Who's Donovan Cook.
He's crazy on, man that I know.
Yeah, he's on his way back here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be doing something at Crown. But when we were married, we wanted a restaurant. We wanted to open a restaurant. I was a chef. I was not a pastry chef. And he wanted to move to France to concentrate on pastry. And because he was so good at everything else and basically retarded when it came to anything with sugar, I decided that I would focus on pastry. So it wasn't actually a choice. I mean, I've always been good at it, but I don't have a sweet tooth at all. I'm allergic to flour, topically.
Oh, my God.
And I have an obsessive aversion to sticky fingers. So...
How on earth do you cope being a pastry chef, particularly when you're working with sugar?
I don't eat it. That's one thing. I taste everything, obviously, but I don't know. It's quite weird, but I think I am good at it, and I guess you have to enjoy. I enjoy the technicality of it all as well.
Now, I do have to mention that you've brought in a beautiful box of pastries, most of which I can't probably eat, but I'm going to give them a red hot Aussie go.
Good.
Now, you went over and worked at Le Gavroche, Esquaglino's and Harvey's in London.
Yes.
And then you went to La Course Jacques, which was then a three-starred Michelin restaurant.
It was. That's where I just started to hone my pastry skills.
Is it a rite of passage, and I've asked this to so many chefs that have sat in front of me here, is it a rite of passage to go and work in Europe?
Not so much anymore. It was when I was back in the really early 90s. There wasn't anywhere really to work in Melbourne. You know, what really, really made me want to go over there was that was around the time that Marco Pierre White's White Heat came out.
Mm-hmm.
And chefs started to become rock stars, you know.
Oh, dear.
And I didn't want to work for anyone in Melbourne, so I up and went to London and was very lucky to meet some fabulous people and get some really good work experience. Mm-hmm. Worked in France for a year for nothing.
We do that as young folk. It's just after 1:15. You're here on Cravings with me, Pete Dillon, on Joy 94.9. I'm with Philippa Sibley. I want to know what is that recipe or that dish that you're going to put in your recipe book, because very shortly we're going to speak to Heather Samsa, who has done pretty much exactly that and put a recipe book together to help the folk of Marysville. I've got a woman on the phone. She lives in Marysville, and she has written a cookbook. And this has, of course, inspired today's challenge for you to phone in, to email, to text, or to tweet. What is that one dish that will go in your very own recipe book if you could put one together? That thing that takes you back to being a child? Because I'm sure in this book that Heather Samsa has written or put together, there are many, many recipes that would take her back to her childhood. Heather, welcome to Cravings.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, I'm quite taken by this book, and let me just state that the book's $30 and $10 of every book, so 33% of every book,
correct,
goes to assisting the communities of Marysville, Narbathong, Buxton and surrounds that were affected by the Black Saturday bushfires
that's right.
February, last year.
The profit goes back to the community establishments in town. $200 has already gone to the primary school, $200 to the tourist association. Next on the list is the kindergarten, and it's just going through like that. So as much as I can give, I'm doing the best I can.
Now, Heather, I've got Philippa Sibley here with me, who is an extraordinary pastry chef, so you should say hello, shake hands on air.
Hi, Philippa, how are you?
Hello.
I've been listening.
I've been looking through your book, it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Now, the good thing about this book is it's not full of recipes that require ingredients that would require you to travel to a specialist providor to get them. This is all stuff that you'll get at your local IGA supermarket, your Coles, your Woolies, whichever.
Simple recipes for a very hard time that you just did not need complication.
And a lot of these, I'm assuming, Heather, are recipes that may have been in that recipe book that someone's mum handed down to them that may have been lost in those fires.
Correct. It started with a lady. We'll call Mrs. A. She had a recipe that was her mother's and had been passed down to her. She's an older lady, and she couldn't remember a melon recipe that her mother had passed down. And it just hit me then that everybody's in the same boat. They've lost all their old recipes, all their favourite recipes. And that's how this started. I thought, well, people just didn't know where they were going to turn, and sometimes to have something written in front of you during that time was just so much easier than to think. And that's how this came about. So I put together my grandmother's recipes from her handwritten book, some recipes from my mother, which obviously my grandmother had used, and also recipes that I've used and collected. And they're just simple recipes, basic ingredients. They don't take a lot of time. They don't take a lot of effort.
Mm. The front of the book is probably, for me, the most inspiring thing. Where there is hope, there is love. Where there is love, there is life. And where there is life, there is Marysville.
Yes.
The community have worked very strongly together in rebuilding Marysville. I happened to be up there not so long ago, probably about 6 or 7 months ago, for a game of golf when the Marysville golf course reopened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's striking how well people who may not normally have spoken to one another have now bonded together because of the disaster.
That does seem to be the case, and I hope it continues that way. I mean, people have to stick together to survive, not just to survive as in live, but also mentally to survive.
Mm.
It's been an extremely hard time.
Now, Robin's called in. Robin, thank you. Robin said that her family recipe would be to make tomato jam. It's beautiful. However, she did once drop a jar.
That would have been nasty.
Messy. I had a bit of an accident in my house the other day with a bottle of white vinegar and a bottle of sweet chilli sauce that leapt from the cupboard. The house smelled nice, but the dogs had some sticky feet for a little while. Now, of course, to win a copy of this book, all you need to do is email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300-JOY-949, or you can SMS 0427-JOY-949 and tell us, what is that dish that takes you back, transports you to your childhood? Heather, this book, and I'm sure Philip is going to ask you a question or two in a minute as well, including how to make this apple crumble perfect in the microwave. the book has a lot of space. It's not one of those lovely books that you get, and I'm guilty of doing this. I have hundreds of cookbooks on my bookshelf. They're all from, you know, fabulous people who've signed them, and it's all terrific, but I never use them.
Oh, okay.
And it's not one of those books that you're going to take off the shelf, have a quick flick through and put back on the shelf where it shall sit forever collecting dust, is it?
No, look, I've done it so that there's plenty of room to add little notes, little bits and pieces. I've also left pages in between each section because I have placed it in sections, beef, meat, vegetables and the like, so that if you know that you've got a piece of beef and you need to use, you can actually go to the beef section and have a flick through, or go to the index and every recipe that uses beef as the main ingredient, well, it's actually listed under beef.
Mm. Well, that's certainly helpful. The other thing I've noticed is that there's plenty of room if you've got an alteration to a recipe that works for you that might change. There's plenty of room to write that into the book, isn't there?
There is. I've left plenty of room in the margin to do that. The text is large with plenty of space in between. And it just, I mean, it's not crowded. There may not be pictures of food, but there are pictures of the township.
And the township before Black Saturday in February last year.
That's correct. Yes, that's right. It was very difficult to get those photos, actually, because most of the photos of the locals had been destroyed.
Mm.
But I was extremely lucky that people that did have photos, and they've mentioned in the front of the book, actually gave me the use of some very good professional-looking photos.
Mm. Heather, how many books do you have that you've got to move? And I'm not conducting this interview because you need to move books. I found you by accident by Twitter.
There's 400.
Yep.
The funding has been out of my own pocket, so I was limited to how many I could actually get done.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more interest, obviously more will get published. This is the second run. The first run was actually given to the members of the community in Marysville at no cost to themselves, just to give them something that was theirs and theirs alone.
So how do people get hold of the book?
There is a website. It's nice and easy. It's marysvillecookbook.com.
Marysvillecookbook.com. That's very, very easy indeed. So they can jump onto the website. They can have a look at what's on there. They can order the book online, I'm assuming?
They certainly can. And I'd actually be sending it out directly. Now, there is, if people are going into Marysville, a copy can also be bought at the Marysville Tourist Association,
mm-hmm.
which is just in the foyer near the supermarket. And they're selling at a slightly discounted rate of $25. And again, $10 from that would actually go straight back to the Tourist Association.
Beautiful. Now, I've noticed there's no recipe for ossobuco in here, so I'm going to have to submit you mine because I'm just reminded I've prepared some ossobuco in my slow cooker this morning and I can sort of still smell onions and ossobuco on my hands. That's nice.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
Yeah, charming. So I'm sure that's bubbling away in my kitchen. But Heather, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that we're able to assist the people of Marysville, Narbathong, Buxton and surrounds in rebuilding the community. Like I said, we've got a book to give away and people can go to marysvillecookbook.com.
Yeah, and look, thank you very much for taking the time, Pete. It's very much appreciated.
It's a joy.
All right, thank you, Pete and Philippa. Keep up the good work. Sounds wonderful.
You too. Heather, good on you.
That's Heather Samsoe, who has put together the Marysville Cookbook. And if you do have an opportunity, marysvillecookbook.com will secure you a copy just on 1:30 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
The Matrix Guild is a social and support network committed to help provide and promote appropriate care and accommodation choices and alternative lifestyle options for older lesbians in Victoria. For more details, visit matrixguildvic.gov.au.
Do you like a social game of tennis or think you have the balls for something more competitive? Then why not take a swing at Vic Tennis? Vic Tennis is a social sporting group for people of all skill levels. If you're game or up for a game, check them out at victennis.com.
Oh, I got distracted there. Pete Dillon here with you on Cravings on Joy 94.9. I'm with the ever delightful Philippa Sibley. Now, we've just met Heather Samsa, who has put together a wonderful book to help Marysville and the surrounding areas recover. Oh, excuse me. She's done a terrific job of that. It's a lovely book, and it has some of those recipes in it that I'm sure your mum makes. I actually saw, as we were talking to Heather, a golden syrup dumpling recipe, which is that thing that takes me back to my childhood. It was one of the very few things my mum could cook properly. Now, I've got the text messages, and to the person sending this, this is Robin Chaz, who are members. Kisses and porcupines. I need more information. I think the porcupines are meatballs rolled in raw rice and then cooked in canned tomato soup. That was something that, seriously, they were called porcupines or hedgehogs, I think my mum used to call those. So, Robin Chaz, if you're able to extend on that a little bit, you may well be winning this book that will assist Marysville, and I'm sure it will be something that you'll find recipes similar to porcupines, if that's what indeed they are. Back to Philippa Sibley, who has joined me. I know she's got to run off because she's got a kitchen to run, so we've best spend another 10 minutes with her. Now, you opened... what was the first one you opened when you got back?
Estes. Yes, we were. Donovan and myself worked for Mieta O'Donnell at Mieta's for 9 months. I know.
R.I.P. What a
amazing
doyen
woman
of this industry.
Absolutely amazing woman, and she took us on without really, you know, without knowing either of us.
Mm-hmm.
And Donovan was pretty rough, and Mieta was very.
Donovan hasn't changed a lot, though.
No.
I met Don a couple of years ago. And,
rough as Hessian undies.
Yes, he is. But Mieta was that sort of woman. She took people under
him.
Her wing.
She loved him, and he loved her, and it was absolutely devastating what happened. But we were there for the last 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to sell, despite the fact that we were doing really well. I think she just got an offer she couldn't refuse, and... Then the bloody thing sat dormant for years and years and years until Frank Van Handel took over.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, and then we opened
the bloody thing being
the beautiful building that in Alfred Place. I don't know what happened. It was just bizarre because it's one of the most beautiful, amazing sites.
Perhaps it was an issue with rent or something. Who knows?
Who knows?
One of those business issues.
But it is weird going in there now.
Mm.
Seeing the changes and remembering what it was like.
And it's now called?
Com.
Yeah, of course it's called Com. Now, you followed with Lux in 1998.
Yes. After Mieta's, we opened SSS.
Yep.
And then a year later, we opened Lux.
Mm-hmm.
And that did incredibly well.
Yep.
That was... Oh, God, it's such a blur. Such a blur.
Well, it's a few years ago. Love it. It's a few glasses of wine ago.
It's 10 years ago, actually. We released the book in 99. I had a baby in 99. Yes, hence the blurriness. Then we decided to move on from both into the amazing Nonda Castellades building on the corner of Queen and there were one of the L starting ones, La Trobe or Lonsdale.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Amazing kitchen, amazing site. And we got Best New Restaurant there and it was all fabulous. But, you know, marriage
now,
was
interestingly,
breaking down.
Yes. And that's always trouble. It's interesting. All three restaurants collected three hats in the Age Good Food Guide.
Yes, several times.
Est and Ondine, the Best New Restaurant Awards.
Yes.
And it was for your work at Ondine that earned you the Age Good Food Guide Chef of the Year in 2004.
Mm.
And you worked with the 2010 Chef of the Year, Andrew McConnell, at Circa, did you
not? At Circa, I was there for 3.5 years, which is the longest I've ever worked for anyone else. I absolutely loved it. It was an amazing team there.
Do you find you get bored in, and I'm not saying that you're transient, but with the 3.5, excuse me, 3.5 years being the longest.
Yep.
Do you find you need to move?
I felt I needed to move mostly because the team was moving.
Mm-hmm.
It was Andrew had left. It was just changing. It was evolving, and I wanted to evolve as well. So
you'll be very pleased to know, Rob and Chaz, thank you for coming back to us. Yes, porcupines were meatballs and raw rice cooked in tomato soup from a can.
God.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're the height of culinary expertise, but I tell you what, because they take me back, that is so far winning the opportunity to win this Marysville cookbook. Of course, you must be a member of Joy or be willing to sign up as a new member with a credit card over the phone. Oh, excuse me. You must not have won a prize in the last 2 weeks. So, Rob and Chaz, it may well be coming your way until somebody can come back to me with another recipe from their childhood that might just knock off Philippa's Lemon Delicious made with Maya Lemons or my mum's golden syrup and lemon dumplings. 0427-JOY949 is the text number. You can phone 1300-JOY949 and speak to Adrian, who is doing the crossword at the front desk. You can email onair@joy.org.au. Or you can, and I should check Twitter to see if anybody is tweeting. No, they're not. But you can tweet cravings_JOY949, and that will pop you into the draw. So you left Circa in 2009 after the team are moving on, and you then went
2009. Whatever.
Well, according to my research and your biography on your website, you then headed to Bistro Guillaume.
Bistro Guillaume, I was there for 2 years, so it was
So maybe it was 2008, so a typo in here.
Mm.
And that would make sense, 2005 to 2008 is 3 years.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Okay, so 2008 you went to join Guillaume.
Yes.
Which was part of Crown.
It still is, yes.
Moving into what was the Philippe Michel, the brasserie by Philippe.
Apparently, Neil Perry's encroaching upon that space. Which
I heard of thunk it.
Mm-hmm.
Is Guillaume one of the most lovely men you've ever met?
Mais oui.
Mais oui. I have a bit of a man crush on Guillaume.
Have done
for a long time.
Yeah, he talks the talk. He's very charming.
Maybe that's it. Could charm the pants off a rattlesnake, mm-hmm. as my grandmother used to say. So you're at Guillaume and your creations were described as timeless things of beauty.
Oh, really? Who said that?
I don't know. Again, it's from your website, so I'm work with me here, doll. here we go. Philippa secured the title as one of Australia's best and well-known dessert chefs. Monikers such as the Queen of Desserts, which was Gourmet Traveller 2006.
Mm-hmm.
A stellar pastry chef, Gourmet Traveller Restaurant Guide 2006, and an enchantress.
I like that one. That's my
favourite. Yes, I think very much an enchantress. That was from the Age Good Food Guide in 2005.
It's better than Vile Temptress.
Well,
I think I've had that as well.
I like Vile Temptress. Yeah. I think that sort of sounds
there's
a bit sexy and naughty.
There's a time and a place.
There is indeed. You're now at Il Fornaio, which is literally translated as the oven in St Kilda, where you're back on the pans acting as executive chef.
I am. I'm injecting a bit of love. It needed fresh eyes.
Mm.
I'm fixing the breakfast and lunch menus, and I'm doing a lot of yummy pastry, goodies. We're not baking bread anymore.
Yep.
We're getting bread from an amazing bakery called Noisette in Port Melbourne.
Nice.
Beautiful French bread. So that frees us up, because that was just, the whole bread baking thing was just a nightmare.
Mm.
But the most exciting thing about Il Forneo is that we will be opening nights and we will be focusing on desserts.
Wow. Not the first venture to do so in Melbourne, is it?
No, it's been done before, but with...
Is it Pierre Roulouf?
Yes, who he's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think he's getting ahead of himself. He needs to set something up that's in an appropriate position and where he has the space to do what he needs to do, because he's
And also
amazing.
To build that brand. I mean, you've been building that brand for decades, if I might say. Now, this is part of the ever-growing Salvatore Malatesta empire.
Yes.
Here of St. Ali fame and the coffee place at David Jones. And that's an empire that's growing very, very quickly.
It is. He's pretty dynamic. He does drink a lot of coffee, though.
Perhaps that gives him his dynamism.
No, he's got an amazing energy. He really does.
Now, I know I've waffled on too long, and I know that you have to run back to your kitchen.
Mm.
So, now, you need to correct me, indeed, that you didn't almost have your ass challenged by Callum on MasterChef.
For goodness sake.
He's a sweet young kid, isn't he? He's going to go a long way.
He's an absolute diamond, and I'm pretty sure he's still in. He's, I love him. He's fantastic.
Yes. He's a lovely kid, and I've actually been voting for him all along the way because he's a boy that walked out of the Barossa Valley, Adelaide, where he used to peel potatoes.
Well, he actually really is, as he appears on TV. Mm. He's just a sweetheart.
Will you give him a job?
Damn straight.
There you go. Callum, if you're listening, you've got a job, mate, when you leave the MasterChef house. Philippa, thank you so much for joining me.
You're right. Can I just tell you one thing that's very important?
Yes.
Il Forneo will be officially opening for nibblies and desserts and more bar-driven mid-June, but I'll keep you posted on my website,
People can go to several places, which is philippasibley.com, which is your very own website, or they can... Does Il Forneo have a website? Do we know?
It's being rejiggered.
It's being redone. So if you go to philippasibley.com, use your favourite search engine to find her. She is a delightful woman, and thank you so much for joining us here on Cravings.
Thank you, Pete. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. It's likewise nice to meet me. It's just after 20 minutes to 2 and I need a drink.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
It's not every day I get to welcome a Michelin-starred chef into the Cravings studio, nor do I get to welcome a former world champion of Chinese cooking and a Chinese food master. But today I'm very lucky to have that very gentleman sitting in front of me. Here from Macau's City of Dreams, he is the executive Chinese chef, and his name is Tam Kwok Fung. Welcome to Cravings.
Thank you.
What's brought you to Australia?
It's nice.
So you like Australia?
Yes.
You're here to do some menus at Silks?
Yes, yes. Nice food stuff, fresh, you know, high quality, fresh air.
So you really like our produce?
Yes, yes.
One of the things on the menu that you're doing is a slow-roasted Wagyu beef cheek.
Yes.
This is something that you've been doing in both Macau, Thailand...
Since day one, you know, when I work in Macau, you know, I put this, you know, in my menu already. It's almost, you know, 3.5 years long. I never, you know, take this dish, you know, out from my menu. Yes, because it's well, you know, well received all the time.
And you're using Australian Wagyu?
Yes, of course.
What is it about Australian beef that you like?
The texture, the flavor. And the image of, you know, safe food product, yeah.
A couple of days ago, I had the pleasure of sitting down over lunch with a bunch of other media people and enjoying your food. And you incorporate into your food some very long-standing traditional Chinese ideals. Some call them a Taoist principle. Some will say that they're a medicinal approach to food. Tell me about how you incorporate those principles into your food.
That is about, you know, yin and yang, you know, balance. It's about, you know, vegetable. It's actually, you know, daily basics, you know, consume of, you know, our Chinese people. Like, you know, we will have, you know, well balance of, you know, like starch, vegetable, seafood, meat, and that is, you know, also, you know, a people, you know, eating habit. And mm-hmm. we have to manage to it well, you know, that will, you know, make your health, you know, happen.
Mm-hmm. So how old are some of these Taoist principles that you bring in your food? I understand they go back centuries.
Yes, it's thousands of years, you know, in Chinese, you know, culture. But, you know, when I'm, you know, from Hong Kong, that is, you know, southern part of China, mm-hmm. then, you know, people, you know, there, you know, will be more, you know, concerning about, you know, seasonal, you know, product. And that is also, you know, a part of Taoist principle or, you know, philosophy.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about you. You grew up in Hong Kong?
Yes, yes.
And that cooking with your family encouraged you to develop an understanding of food?
Yes, from, you know, when I was, you know, very little child, I used, you know, to shopping, you know, with my mom, you know, and fresh market. Mm-hmm. And since then, you know, I get to use or, you know, get to know, you know, all the, you know, from basic seasonal product, you know, to more complicated of, you know, cooking method.
Mm. You've been cooking for 25 years?
Actually, it's more than that because, you know, before my my full-time, you know, job, you know, I spent, you know, few years, you know, as a part-time, you know, cooking, you know, a small cafe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't look old enough to have been cooking for 25 years. Is this the quality of the food you cook that keeps you young?
I think that will also, you know, help because, you know, I'm not, you know, drink too much.
You don't drink too much? Well, that's a good thing. Do you smoke?
Little. Occasionally.
For some time, you've been almost a bit of a celebrity as far as Chinese cooking and Chinese cuisine goes. Tell me some of the very well-known people that you've cooked for.
One of Australian, you know, former Prime Minister, Paul Keating.
Paul Keating?
Yes.
How did he receive your food?
I also, you know, cooked, you know, Australian beef for him at the old day.
He would have enjoyed that. Now, I understand royal families.
Yes, like, you know, the whole royal family of Thailand, mm-hmm. Japan, King and Queen of Qatar. Or Brunei,
uh-huh.
or
Nepal.
I think, you know, more than that actually.
Okay.
Like, you know, U.S. you know, president. And
which U.S. presidents did you cook for?
Before Bill Clinton, it's Bush.
Bush Senior.
Yeah. Yes.
I would have put poison in his food if I was cooking for him, but that's just me. So, do you have has there been a favorite person that you've cooked for that has liked your food more than others?
I think it's, you know, former French president Jacques Chirac.
Jacques Chirac?
Yes, yes. Because, you know, what I understanding is, you know, French people, I mean, most of them, you know, they are so proud of their cooking. I mean, their technique, their cooking, you know, their eating culture.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not, you know, cooking French, you know, and I served him, you know, and he happy. And even, you know, asked me, you know, to say, you know, hi and, you know, shake my hand.
Very good. Now, your food is ancient plus modern. You take very good care of the produce you use.
Yes, 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 I do. All the time.
What's the thing that drives you? Do you find the best produce wherever it comes from?
So far I can make it because, you know, in Hong Kong or Bangkok or even, you know, in Australia, they are all, you know, good food stuff, you know, around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, you know, what I looking for.
Now, you have a couple of signature dishes. One is the yin yang noodles with lobster.
Yes.
That's a combination of two different noodles?
The combination of the two different noodles is, you know, I used Chinese rice vermicelli. It's mm-hmm. very fine noodle, you know, made from, you know, rice flour. And another, you know, glass noodle is made from sweet potato starch.
Mm-hmm.
Would be, you know, transparent, you know, like crystal. And you cook it up, you know, together, you know, you get, you know, two type of, you know, texture, like, you know, a little bit chewy and starchy.
So that's the yin and the yang principle.
Yes, mm. Yeah.
The voice you can hear is that of Chef Tam Kwok Fung. He is here visiting from Macau, where he oversees the City of Dreams. I need to go there for the hell of it. The overseas two signature Chinese restaurants, Lung Hing and Treasure Palace. How long have you been in Macau?
So far, it's almost 3.5 years' time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And before that, you were in Bangkok?
In Bangkok.
Where were you in Bangkok?
I opened the Peninsula Hotel, you know, in Bangkok since 1998. And before I worked in Peninsula, I worked for also, you know, another world famous, you know, Oriental Hotel.
Okay.
Yeah. In that Chinese kitchen.
So did you always want to cook? Was it something that you think you were born with, that the desire to cook?
Yes. You have to, you know, love, you know, what you're doing. So, you know, you can, you know, be achieved, you know, for something else, you know, no matter, you know, what you're doing, I think.
Mm. Now, just a few months ago, you were in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yes.
Conducting some master classes. How did they go?
That is actually the second year of the World Gourmet Summit there. They are also, you know, will invite other chef, you know, from all around the world, like, you know, from London, from America, from Europe, to show, you know, their culinary philosophy and the dishes at the very short, you know, period, like, you know, 1.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, sorry. Oh, crikey, I'm getting a cold. Sorry, you'll have to excuse me. That voice you can hear, apart from my wheezing, is that of Chef Tam Kok Fong. He is here from Macau. He is cooking at Crown. Now, you're doing a series, silks at Crown for up until the 19th of May. And you're doing a series of menus. There's a 7-course menu, which features a double-boiled shark fin. Is that a bad thing, cooking shark fin?
From the Greenpeace, you know, wheels of porn, you know, I think, you know, that maybe, you know, not, you know, welcome for, you know, 100% of the people. But, you know, I still, you know, keep one dish, you know, in one of the free menu, is because, you know, I think, you know, I have to prepare for, you know, for some real Chinese eating people, you know, they may, you know, try it out.
You also do some on one of your menus, some barramundi. It's obviously Australian barramundi.
Yes, yes.
What is it about barramundi that you've come to like?
It's very, very nice. It's fresh, and the texture and the flavor is, you know, what I'm looking for, actually.
So how long do you see yourself in Macau? Do you think you're going to be there a long time?
So far, you know, I still have several, you know, projects. I mean, in the casino hotel, you know, we have to, you know, serve our people, you know, right, or, you know, we have to, you know, give, you know, what the people is, you know, looking for, and updating, you know, the food market, you know, all the time. And when I finish the food promotion, you know, in Melbourne, when I go back there, you know, I have to, you know, develop another kitchen team for, you know, 24-hour operation, you know, for the mass gaming VIP client, and another two kitchen, you know, going to be, you know, change, you know, their menu and staff training. So, you know, I will be running around still for several, you know, months. And for about, you know, plan, you know, for how long to going to, you know, stay in Macau, I will see, you know, still the place, you know, still, you know, under, you know, developing all the time. And I believe, you know, I still will stay there for a few years, like, let's say, you know, 2-3 years' time.
Excellent. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon. 0427-JOY-949 is the text message number that you can send a text. 1300-JOY-949 is the telephone number, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Or you can send a tweet to cravings_JOY949. Now, you've worked under some big masters of Chinese cookery who taught you, I understand, a hell of a lot. Is there one master in particular that is that sticks in your mind as that person that inspired you the most?
That is my first, you know, master I learned from Mr. His name is Quan, Mr. Quan. Mm-hmm. He's the first generation of the Cantonese cooking master for me, and he originally from Guangzhou,
Which is in southern China?
In southern China, which is, you know, the capital of Cantonese cooking, which, you know, will, you know, make me, you know, learn the very, very good, you know, basic at the beginning.
When did you win the world champion of Chinese cooking?
That was 2005. Yes, it's for every 4 years' time from World Association of Chinese Cuisine. The headquarters is in Beijing. They will hold, you know, a cooking competition in different, you know, location every, you know, every 4 years' time.
Like, so it's Olympic, like the Olympics of Chinese cooking.
Yes. They will invite, you know, different, you know, country, you know, Chinese chef, you know, to participate. And in that years, I was the only, you know, one representative, you know, from Thailand. But say as a Chinese chef, in that year, I remember, you know, they have a team of more than 30, you know, from, like, you know, from America, America, Japan, Europe, you know, like, you know, London, Dutch, Belgium, even, you know.
So from all over the world.
Yes.
And were there any Australians there?
What I remember is they have from, like, you know, from Sydney, from Melbourne as well. Yeah.
Now, there's a little story about when you were first awarded your Michelin star that you didn't know you were getting it until somebody showed you in the guidebook. Is that a true story?
Yes, because, you know, that is not a kind of, you know, advertising, you know, magazine, as, you know, everyone know that, you know, they never, you know, take free lunch, you know, and they just, you know, award it by, you know, by their own executives and staff, you know, to watch, or, you know, to just, you know, record them, you know, all the different, you know, restaurant, you know, quality wise, you know.
And so you didn't know you were going to get this?
I don't give, you know, any idea, you know, about this before, you know, the guy, you know, announced, you know, I'm my restaurant, you know, was in the list.
Was that a surprise for you?
Yes, very much, very much.
And is it something you can take with you? Because that was obviously in Thailand.
Yes, as you know, as a Chinese chef, you know, that moment, you know, is the second year, you know, I can, you know, go back to the Chinese, real, you know, Chinese market, you know, cooking, you know, Chinese food. And I was, you know, been, you know, several, you know, year, you know, cooking Chinese food and overseas. So, you know, the result is, you know, just like I can prove, you know, myself, you know, I can, you know, I can make, you know, something, you know, to make, you know, even Chinese, you know, we do agree, you know, my Chinese cooking.
Well, look, it has been a pleasure. You are the very first Michelin-starred chef that I've ever had on Cravings, and I hope to have many more. Chef Tam Kwok Fung, thank you for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your time in Australia.
You're welcome. And yes, I do, you know, enjoy in Australia.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.